In the doorway I stood in the love of God and possibly caught a 1 minute glance into what looked to be a fullness of it. I almost couldn't stand it, you know. And bring me back in the realm where I'm walking. I can't look at any of you anymore. I can't look at any of you hardly without taking an instant trip back in time. Actually, all the way back to Adam. Every one of you in here was in his DNA. Eve's. That's how you were created. But I can't look at anybody without, I mean, this is just temporal. But you go all the way back, and I know that every single person that's come from them are somewhere now. They're somewhere now. They're alive somewhere. They're conscious. They're conscious somewhere. As eternal as God is, all complete and perfect in every way. He came from forever. Nobody knows. They said, well, how God, he originated, didn't. Well, how can that be? We don't know. That's beyond our understanding. What we do know, he's always been. Well, how? Well, who created him? Nobody. He always was. And when you look like that, your mind locks. You know, it locks about right there, and your brain comes partway out your ear, and you go, get. I can't comprehend that. But even stronger than that, if he was the only thing that there was forever, how could we ever think that we're the only? Maybe the angels were created 50 million years ago. We don't know. We just know in the beginning, Lucifer was perfect in his ways. Till iniquity was found in him, it sounds like he hid undercover for a while. Of course, God knew it the whole time. But somehow he talked a third of the angels to go with him. Well, whatever it is about God, it seems like just being absolutely alone, like you're abandoned on an island, nobody ever sees you again, and you see nobody again, and there's nothing alive. Is there some kind of weakness? No, he couldn't have that. What was it about us, his family? What is this right to make choices even the angels had? You know, what is this? And immediately when we fell, because we could make choices, he left it up to us. I do know this. If you're a robot I made, I can program you to do whatever I want. I love you, I love you. Oh, shut up. I programmed it. Somehow independent from him, except for what he gave him. Did he need that? Why does he love worship so much? See, what is this about this that's so important? Well, when I look back, as far as I could see and understanding in my spirit, that first man, Adam, and the consequences, the things that followed, all because he was capable of making choices. So are you. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? A reward for you running around here. I mean, you coming home to be his son and daughter forever is enough. Can you imagine? How he'll feel when you walk into his presence that possibly have salvaged thousands of people. One way or another. We know people go to hell if we don't reach them, but who's proved hell to us? What preachers preached it? Who's taken it out of the Bible? Who leaves it in? What, the poor people are left to be the ones that have to figure out who to listen to? When he was talking to me real heavy about that kind of fellowship and about love, and when I was through with all the other things that he taught me, then it came back to love, and of all the attributes he is, that's what he referred to himself as, what he is. He's love. There's 10 attributes. Sovereignty, righteousness, judgment, immutability, eternal life, love, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, truth. That makes up the one essence of God. It's just some paragraphs that I caught when he was talking to me. Love must not only give, but must also receive. Don't you know when you lift your hands in worship that your heart begins to transfer love from your heart to his? And as a born-again believer, your new nature is born with an inherent love. In a language we can understand, the love is a part of the DNA born into your new nature when you were born again. And this is what makes you a son or a daughter of God that is fully equipped and able to fellowship with your Father God on a level of love that both of you can give and receive. Oh, yeah, here we are. Level of love that both of you can give and receive, and fully enables you to fellowship with God on a level of love that both gives and receives, and of the most powerful life-changing attributes I have ever learned to draw from. And on his part, your worship is like the love a mother has for her newborn baby. Much like a newborn baby touches his mother, when she holds him for the first time, she melts away, surrendering hopelessly to a love that only the heart can understand. Whew. And he loves you like that. Last week we did a study on some of the men of God that shook their continents. They shook their nations. We majored on William Branham somewhat. These guys walked in such a power that the miracles were right in front of you and caused sinners to get saved by the hundreds. I know when we went to Japan, God just opened two people's deaf ears. You should have seen the atmosphere. You should have felt it changed and go through the crowd. But these men, They knew God in a way. They knew His Word. Alexander Dowie, who shook Chicago down to her knees. He did the same thing. There's a list of them. At a certain point, and I'm asking him, I said, we want Tulsa's in revival. And Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. And these guys got where they would shake cities. And I'm thinking, how can they do that and operate in so much power and preach what they're preaching then end up and say what they're saying now? So how can they do that? You know, I really never understood 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians when it says, desire earnestly the best gifts, you know, like workings of miracles and gifts of healing. Yeah. Those are good ones. Let me show you a more excellent way. Then he goes on to say, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not what? Profits me nothing. Though I can move all mountains and have all faith and have not. Profits me. Meaning, you mean I can get to a place where I can operate in God in that kind of power? But if I don't have that love, for some reason it doesn't profit me the way I could have been profited. Did you understand that? No, I really didn't. In the past, I'd never really preach on it. Just that love was important. But these guys did operate in this. They did operate in those things they were talking about. Alexander Dowie. They built him a little platform like that one, only more royal. Put him a very high hat on, stood about this high, decorated with a long flowing gown. Sat down in his chair and declared himself Elijah to come. And he wanted to buy land up around Israel because him and Jesus were going to rule through the millennial. Come on. Branham. At one time he thought that a woman's creation was even on a lower level than an animal. And he documented it. He said at one point they didn't have a spirit. They were just for reproduction of the human race. A guy that operates, you know, you're blind and in a wheelchair. 10 seconds later, you're seeing and you're walking. How can they say things like that? This is why he says that though I have all faith, I can move mountains, and I don't have this. I don't have this. Well, that love is growing stronger. At least I believe that's what it is. His love. Then my born-again spirit is an inherited an ability to receive that love because I'm created in His nature. And the more of that love that I receive, the more I'm moved by the same thing Jesus was. When He says He was moved by compassion, and compassion is nothing but the tangible presence of the love of God. You want to enter the safe zone? Quit fighting with people. Quit hurting them. And forgive them. It's a start. Did you have a chapter to preach? Two. Two chapters. But when I get into this, it's a kind of exhortation, but it's a... People don't understand prophecy the way it's laid out, and you wouldn't unless you absorbed Corinthians, the entire book. He said, let the prophets speak, but one at a time, let the others hold. So the way we prophesy now, all of a sudden we jump up and there's no stopping us. You have to let us go. Yeah, thus saith the Lord. And somebody yell, hold it. Well, how could he hold it if he didn't know what he was going to say? Since he let the prophets speak. When God gives them something, let them speak. So they were a main source. They didn't have a Bible in their lap. They had traveling ministries, thank God, letters from Paul, and could go to the synagogue and get transcripts of the Old Testament, but they didn't have Bibles in their lap. So an understanding, or trying to understand prophecy and prophesying, then I found out that God will drop a revelation on the inside of them and they can hold it until their turn. Then they bring it forward. And sometimes it's like this. You could say, in a manner of speaking, instead of doing what I planned out with my mind, I ended up prophesying about love and about standings and about some of the other things that experienced error. Well, how could these guys do that? How could they do that? Well, I know now. I understand now. This is why. What happened to me in Brazil when all those devils came into the room and with instructions, I know now, to stop me one way or another. And they told me flat out in the chant they were going to kill me. And I just found out the other day I come a lot closer than I thought I did because I wasn't told everything. I wasn't conscious. These devils threatened to going to kill you, and that's what they kept chanting over and over again. And why? They were instructed to stop me at the door. And here was the door. And I managed to get a key to all the other doors and open them. They had things in them like fasting and meditation principles and this and that. But when I got here, it was a big major door made out of steel. And I'd already opened one door to love, but it only went so far. And then the love didn't seem to grow any more past that. Well, I found out he couldn't, or I would have probably abolished hell. I wouldn't see how hell could be. I'd abolished it. And the next thing I'd have probably done is declared, one man caused your fall. You didn't ask for it. So the second man salvaged the earth, and you didn't ask for that either. Of course, that's what everybody's saying it, and you're supposed to. You know. Well, in that door that I got to open for the love of God, just for a little while, it got on me. I think it was before the fasting door. But once I got to the fasting door, boy, that put my flesh in a place. Well, when that love would come back, I would know what was what. And wouldn't Paul pass my flesh and pardon it and everything and say, he's already paid. Doesn't matter how much sin you sin. He's paid for your sins once, so he don't have to ever pay for them again. Whole reason that he paid the price for you is to free you from sin. Not an insurance policy to go on with it, but you're saved now. Come on. Come on. So if he would have went on with that love then, you just don't know. Oh no. He couldn't possibly do that. Oh no. No. So that door slammed, and I was fasting door. Ooh. Ooh. Everybody hated the first part of the year, which, you know, is coming. They hated it every year for about 6-7 years. They just hated it. Why? Because every year I'd preach on fasting, didn't I? I mean, tough, too. You think I preached lightly? Place of Christ be in you. The body's dead because of sin. The spirit's life because of righteousness. Because you've been born again. The body positionally has been declared dead, meaning it has lost its power to reign over you, even if you think it can. Your body's dead because of sin.
My mind don't feel like it.
It still doesn't have the power to reign over you.
Well, it feels like it does.
You can. If you're looking for an excuse, it'll take it. But it can't make you do something you won't. It's in a position,
but it feels alive to me.
Positionally, it's been declared dead. You can enforce that position, and fasting is one way you can enforce it.
Ooh, how does that work?
Well, you're believing for something, you know.
I'm believing for that I'm believing for a husband of mine. Where's that husband you have for me?
I'm believing. Where's she at?
Or I'm believing to be an entrepreneur. Billions into the gospel just to see people saved. And you're believing for all of this and very little of it happens. Why? Here's your spirit and here's your flesh.
Well, I think that I'm going to believe for that guy over there. Ooh, get out, okay.
And the flesh goes. And you get up and it goes. What happened when you start fasting? Fasting executes the position your flesh has been declared, which is dead. So here it's a jump. I reign here.
No, you don't.
Smash. You think not? Fast, fast, fast. Fasting. It came in. I got it. I believe for it. Yay. So when you drove your flesh down where it couldn't reign over your faith and executed that position that God gave it, when it drops below where you're operating in the spirit, then stuff starts.
Well, I was believing for that for 3 years. And I started fasting and it came in.
Well, your starving didn't move God.
If I don't eat, he'll do it, won't he?
No. No, if you grow stronger in the spirit and believe him more than you believe the flesh, he'll do it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, otas, kindus karabulome. Ablame. Ablame. He questus tu chila fumalacola seti. Yes, on the way, kissel. In that. For most of this generation hasn't experienced a real flow of my spirit. The kind that grounds you very, very solid in me. And you can see things clearly. You can see things clearly. You can see things clearly. Because when the flesh is put into its place of mortification, you'll see that you really are able to walk above that in your faith and in what I have called you to do. We could go home there and be safe. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, what chapters did you... I had Romans 8 and Romans 12. Offer your body a living sacrifice. It's wholly acceptable unto God. And be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You mean you were going to preach on them? Actually, I was going to preach on your reward. Is the mighty, mighty prophet going to get a greater reward than the cleaning lady? For who was it but I that gave each of you the measure of faith that you operated in to fulfill your calling and your place in my body? And not all have the same calling, but all who receive the measure I give them and minister in it to their fullness will have the same reward as the next person who seemed to be in the highlight getting all the glory for it. Well, it isn't the glory he's receiving. It's the glory that I gave you and your obedience to what I had you do. Say it, Lord. Oh, I like that. I like that. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on. The upside to this is you're called to walk in a whole lot more than we're walking in now. We've been churched. How many went somewhere before they came here? How many got doctrinized somewhere before they come here? If you got church, that means you started going to church somewhere else, somewhere, sometime. Who's been churched before they come here? Yeah. Most people that come here now know a lot. You give altar calls and they say, I'm Einstein's Isaac. I'm Einstein Isaac. I don't need to get saved. I just want... It hasn't been people who've been getting saved. It's been more people coming in and ending up operating in the power and going to places as missionaries and things like that. But I don't care what he's called me to do. You know. I'm just happy to know I'm doing it. Let's go on over there to Romans then. Let's take this in from the first verse of the 12th chapter, if you're able now. He says, I beseech you therefore, brother, and the word therefore means based on something I've already said, do this. Of course, what he already said was in the 8th chapter about offering yourself up and working the plan of God through praying in tongues and mortification of the body. And I beseech you, he says, therefore, brethren, and by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, both acceptable and holy unto God, which is just your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and the perfect, man, good, acceptable, perfect. Wow. For I say through the grace, now, this grace that's given to him, I say through the grace given to me. He didn't choose himself. He didn't call himself. For I say through the grace given to me, to every man that's among you, you not think more highly than you ought to think, that is, of yourself. But to think soberly according to God's dealt to every man the measure of faith. In other words, Paul didn't call himself to be an apostle. That grace was given to him. And then he gave him the measure of faith. He's dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, everybody always talked about that measure of faith when faith was first rampant. I mean, on radio, it was the upcoming doctrine. Standing, believing. When you can't see it, don't feel it. So here, when he's talking about receiving a measure, they got to talking about what a measure was. Well, how much is the measure of faith? Well, one day it dissolved itself for me. The brilliance hit me. My mind lit up like a street light. You know, a measure is something you measure out. A measure is part of a whole. He says that, what did he say? According to God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. That's verse 3. Now 4 starts out, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace. You didn't choose it. Wasn't you? It was him. That is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. On ministry, let us wait on ministering, or on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. This is interesting. What do you think he meant when he said, when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing? How do you do that? It says when you pray, don't do it to be seen of men. Okay, I can understand. I can hide from you. But how do I hide from myself? When you give, don't let him. I can do that. But when he says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, I go, what do I do with it? It's part of my body. It's a member. What do I do? Lock it up in a door and say, now see if you can see how much I give, you dirty left hand. Well, he said that. Has anybody ever told you what it meant? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing? No. Probably one of the most powerful challengers of God is mammon, money. That's why his request, you can't serve God and mammon. We lost a lot of preachers to it. A lot. We lost a lot of salvations when they look on the TV. And how can they help but think it's what they're after? It's money. How can you help but think? Did you know whether you give a penny or not? I'm still responsible for finishing what he gave me to do. You're not my source. You're not my source. Well, if just think of all the people that won't be saved if you don't give. They better be if you were called to go get them saved. He's your supply. Anyway, I tried to remedy the problem for those preachers. I said, if I give 100, I'll get 100,000 back. Oh, yeah. Really? Oh, sure. 100,000. That's really, yeah. I said, I think I can solve your problem. You give me your 100, and then you'll get it. Alan, can you remember that list on the letter you got? Would you please go up there and get that mic and just go down through that 5-minute list? The one you got in the mail that says you're going to get rich? And the guy that knew you, and when he prayed, you knew it was for you by reading the letter, even though he sent probably 10,000 out.
Are you sure you want me to say this?
Yes.
Okay. Years ago when I was running the Bible college as a study for the students, I sent out a request to the different ministries, certain ones under a different name, and just asked for, if you need prayer. So I made up a few names, like Mr. I'm On to You was one of them, now these aren't there's some that are normal, but there's some that are obviously a little bit questionable. So the two main ones I got, one of them sent me a letter, and you have to send money, and usually at the end, you wait for the end of the letter where they throw in the amount that they suggest you give. 30, 300, depends on what scripture verse you use for some of them, you know. And so I always sent like $3 or something, so they keep you on the list. And one of them was, Alan, this was the letter. This is Prophet so-and-so. I'm writing this letter specifically to you. This is not a mass letter. I'm typing this with my own fingers. Wait, God is telling me to anoint my fingers with oil. Pause. Okay, I'm back. This is a true story. Now, Alan, to prove to you this is a personal prophecy to you. See, the prophecy was going to be, in the end, that God wanted to bless me, but I need to show a step of faith. But to prove this was a personal prophecy to me, he had three questions. He said, answer each of the next three questions, and they're multiple choice, A, B, C. Number one, you need a healing in your back. A, upper back. B, middle back. C, lower back. Number two, you need a healing in your eyesight. Nearsighted. Be farsighted, astigmatism, and you just had to check one of them. Question three, you're praying for a loved one, someone at work, family member, children, so and so. Now, Alan, if you have marked any of these marks, any of these questions, and just once, that's proof that this is a personal prophecy to you. And that I am a true prophet. And then it went on to the scripture verse that needed the offering. And then we got a number of them which were similar, but it was always sent you something. I'm sending you this prayer cloth that I've been praying for. It's a green because it's what I want you to do is I want you to place it under your pillow tonight. And then tomorrow morning, you have to send it back to me because I'm only lending this prayer cloth for you. And this is a blessing cloth. And I want you to keep it under your pillow tonight. And then I want you to tomorrow morning send it back to me with your prayer request. And I personally will pray for them in my personal prayer time. And God will bless you. Now with it, to show a sign of faith, I want you to wrap it in a... Your need in a in some finances. So we got a number of those, and I'd read it to the students. And I would tell them that if we ever catch you doing this, we'll come get you. But I was surprised that these are flourishing ministries. They're on TV. They're flourishing. They're making lots of money. I was surprised to see how many people would fall for that, because there's a spirit on it that goes with that, that causes you to believe in a God like that, that supplies your need through those things. So,
hallelujah. See, when you do that and they start sending that money, what's destroyed so many preachers is they'll get that God complex. They'll start thinking they're special, specially anointed. Brother Branham believed the palate in his mouth was the only one that could say the name of God correctly. And when he did, then the church would be glorified. You'd get your glorified body and things in 1977. Once the devil gets in playing God and deception. Now, a lot of those are genuine, and that's how I started when I first got into faith, and I was sending some things out like that, not much, but everybody was doing it, so I... And it's the truth. If you give, he will. It is the truth. If you've got a heart that gives, he will bless you. You know, he will. But even Luke 6:38, and giving it shall be given to you, shaken together, heaped, running over. Men will give to your bosom. But what that was talking about was a guy that took your money from you, stole it basically, took it away, wouldn't pay you back. And you refused to do nothing but hold the blood of Jesus up the whole time, I see. And you do that, then it's God the one that's going to come and heap it down and run it over, because you refused to do anything but hold the blood of Jesus up. You wouldn't destroy him. So. But you have to read the whole chapter to find that out. Giving, tithe, percentage amounts was under the law, because they had a nature that this is what it is. It's greed. Sure, I'll give if that's the only way I can get God to give back to me. Sure, put me under a law. I'll do it. But yours is not measured by that anymore. You're under no law. You're a son and a daughter of God. You're free. You have the nature he was talking about here. You have that nature. Giving is up to you. If you're not giving from your heart, why do I give? I give because I want to. I give because I want to see the world saved. I give more than money. But where does it come from? Here. You don't have to scare me. Every man is given the measure and the grace to fill his office. So what? So what, I'm a mouth? So what, I'm called to go over to Japan and Brazil and break in? And so what? I got D's in high school because I couldn't give oral reports. Now you think I'm overhealed. I can tell. Now come on. Come on. So what if I'm the mouth? What am I, some chosen by God Superman? What if I am a mouth? What if he does call me overseas? What if he called me here to receive a revival in Tulsa? I'd park here, which I did. So what does that make you? Well, Brother Roberson, he's called me to help. But, you know, that's a That's nothing. What are you talking about? That's the measure he gave you and the grace he gave you. And the body couldn't get by without it. You feel that. You feel it by what he gave you and his grace. You think that guy that's talking them into miracles is doing the miracles? You think his mighty preaching is coming from his brilliance? And no, it's all from the same anointing that's resting on the lady that's cleaning the church and praying over every chair that they be saved. He's not counting the people because I talked to him to be born again. He's not counting them that way. I get a reward because I obeyed him. And I did what he asked to the fullness. So do you. What, you think mine would be greater because my mouth was called and yours wasn't? Wake up. What could we do without you? What could you do without us? We're a body. If he didn't have us, then he would make do with just one point. He made do with Adam, didn't he? Then he had to get him an Eve. So can't you just see? Jesus comes and says, go with me. Come with me. You're Jesus. That's the room there, the doves in it. Between the green corners. That's my reward room. That's a big window. I get to look out to see all the people that got saved. You're going to take me to my reward room. Jesus, can I see the people that got saved one more time? Could you show me that, please? Thank you. Would you open that window like I have a whole... Oh, all of them got saved because they was in the meetings. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you have to go somewhere? Okay, go bring... She's a cleaning lady for the south wing that seated 50,000. Hold Jesus, can I talk to you a minute? This is my reward room, isn't it? All these people were saved. I know her. She's a cleaning lady for the wing that seated 50,000. What's she doing in my reward room? She did what? Prayed over every chair, hour after hour. Stuck pins in what? A calendar. Not a calendar, a map of different nations. And then she did what? She prayed until she got a release. And I went to him. She did that while she cleaned. So she's still a cleaning lady. She gets the same reward. I'm sorry. We did it. We did it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, cleaning lady. So are you sure? Yes, I am. I'm sure. He supplied you with what you did. He supplied me with what I did. We didn't do it. Hallelujah, Jesus. So who gave you the measure of faith to fill your calling? Who called you to do it by His grace? Who gave you the measure? answer. If you were just called to stay on your face and pray, then you'd have part of everything that happened here and anywhere else. People were saved. Hallelujah, Jesus. Of course, the martyrs, you know, they may have a little bit different place. Maybe you felt like dying, but you didn't. A lot of them were tortured very slowly to death. They wouldn't relent. No, sir. Some. The fact that Peter and them got out of jail one time means that nothing's beyond him. He could get you. Depends what he has to use and what you're doing or called to do right at that time. I think there's a place for martyrs who gave their life rather than one word opposing. What would you do? I would prefer to think that no matter what they did to me, why would I deny you? Hallelujah, Jesus. These brave men and women that went into hostile areas that you were killed just for going against their God. Well, there's other ways we can give our life. And Tulsa's not going to win. We are. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. And Tulsa is in revival. What kind? Oh, that messes the hospitals up. Reaches the government. Has to be dealt with from high places. Heard around the world. Film the miracles. Scientists come. Nobody can deny it. What do you think happened in Jesus' day? This preacher, he's so fired up one day. Oh, he was fired up to go preach. He just knew he could do anything. And there was a pool. Took him a while to change his suit again. Get ready to go preach. As he stepped out in the water and went straight to the bottom. I don't think God does it just to show off. Except when Jesus was saying, the works I do, you can do also. No storm can stop you. Why did he translate Stephen? Over 30 miles of desert or so to Astos after baptizing the eunuch. Why did he do that? Why didn't he just walk? He wanted you to know there's no island anywhere hidden, unreached, inaccessible. That anybody wants to know the true and living God, he has a way to get someone there. Even if you fly. That's why. All the miracles he did, why they followed him around. Because he said, the works I do, you'll do. Why is it hell not as hot as it was then, or is he just tired of doing miracles? Who is it? I know in Japan what made the biggest difference was when they could see with these what God was doing. So how come the nation surrounding Israel, where it was born, the apostles launched out. Look at them now. devil thinks he's won. Not on our watch. Hallelujah, Jesus. See, for thousands of years, he loves the sinner. All the choices were ours. Adam's choice, Eve's. We fell. He gave us a way out of it. He looked ahead 4,000 years and says, Satan's head will be bruised, the seed of a woman. So now he could charge what he did to the cross. The first thing he did is killed an animal, shed his blood, and clothed Adam and Eve. Their sons were taught blood sacrifice. Cain's, he wanted to do vegetation. It wasn't good enough. Abel sacrificed blood. He was somewhat pleased with the vegetation. So he kills Abel. Since then till now, there's always been a way to get to God. Some had to wait. What do you think Elisha and Moses was talking to Jesus about on the Mount of Transfiguration? The ascension? They didn't come from heaven, they come from paradise. They couldn't get to heaven yet. They wasn't born again. So they came from paradise and was talking with him about the ascension. Psalms 22 and then 23, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I'll fear no evil. 24, open your gates. The Lord of hosts, we're coming through. And Jesus led all those people from every generation. They got born again, came alive, and went home with him. And that's where we go when we die now. They were talking about the ascension. Don't you just love the Bible? I said these things to you today, for I wanted you to reach further down on the inside. You'll see I'm there. Any difficulties that you face, I'm only too glad, or too, that wasn't the exact word, what was it? I missed it. I'm only too, and it was connected with willing. I'm very, like add pleased and willing, very. For those deeper things that you're believing for and standing in, I'm more than willing to fellowship with you on those things. For generally, they have to do with a lifetime call. Boy, if I had been fighting prayer, if I was you, I'd quit fighting and do it. Come on. Why don't you lift those hands just to halfway up there. He loves corporate worship, but he loves it more when he can hear from you one-on-one. And why don't you thank him and worship him for a moment? For he's wanting to get something over to us. He's wanting to show us something. Has to do with revival, not only with Tulsa and the prayer center, but in our own personal lives. Come on, you'll be more dangerous than strychnine when you go somewhere in the middle of that revival. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, Father, as much as we know how, you took my mouth and just went with it this morning. I didn't know what she's going to say next. But I'm coming out of it knowing that you love me more than I even thought you did. Or even could believe you did. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you with all my heart for every living creature in Tulsa. Every single eternal person. Father, when we go home, we want to know that we drastically affected them. We want to know. In Jesus' name. And we give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. If you heard any other message I preached, you'd know how important praying in tongues is. But who'll teach you? Who'll guide you into all truth? He'll receive a mind, show it unto you. That's what Jesus said. Because your family, you think he'd trust you to an outsider like an angel? No, he doesn't trust your teaching to an angel. Only to a member of the Godhead. Who was sent to take up his abode with you and be your teacher? The Holy Spirit. He didn't trust you to an angel. There's no man that can preach you wrong and down a wrong road if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit. And when you don't know how to pray, he'll even do your praying for you right out of the mind of God. And even when you do know how to pray, I would be about his business more than mine. Come on. For God to select the prayer that he's praying through your lips through the power of the Holy Spirit, what do you want? Pretty soon you start understanding mysteries. Why? Because church is edified when you prophesy. Why? Because you say, yay, this saith the Lord. Everybody run down and buy one hot dog from... They shall be exceedingly blessed and have $1 million in their mailbox by tomorrow morning. Well, the church would know what to do. All of you'd line up right outside of the best restaurant in Tulsa. Well, why would you be edified? Because you knew the mind of God for the church through a prophecy. But he said, when you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. But the reasons are the same. Because you start understanding the mind of Christ. He said, you're praying mysteries. Well, what mysteries are you praying? Well, early in Corinthians, he covered it. Long before he got to that chapter. The mysteries you're praying are the mysteries that have been hid in God and made manifest in Jesus Christ. The mystery of who Christ is in you, the hope of glory. You're praying that understanding. How can I fail?